Welcome to the Rogue Ballerina Podcast. I'm Vicky, aka Rogue, and I'll be dishing on dance diva style. For the last 7 years, I took a break from writing my blog and covering dance in Chicago as I worked in the marketing department at the Joffrey Ballet. But now, well, the bitch is back. One of the best parts of those jobs was the amazing people I met along the way. I want you to meet them too. Join me as I chat with some of the artists I've had the pleasure to get to know. We'll talk about their careers, what they're up to now, and anything else that comes up. Thanks for listening. Let's go rogue. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 13 of the Rogue Ballerina Podcast. We are recording on Friday the 13th today. And I have the pleasure of welcoming Randy Duncan to the pod. Randy Duncan, a native of Chicago, who began his dance training with Miss Geraldine Johnson and credits much of his artistic development with Harriet Ross, has the unique privilege to be a three-time recipient of Chicago's prestigious Ruth Page Award for Outstanding Choreographer of the Year. He has received numerous awards, including the Artistic Achievement Award from the Chicago National Association of Dance Masters, 3 Black Theater Alliance Awards, and the Gay Chicago Magazine After Dark Award. He earned an American Choreography Award nomination for his choreography in the blockbuster movie Save the Last Dance, starring Julia Stiles. Mr. Duncan's work has been seen in the companies of the Joffrey Ballet, Giordano Dance Chicago, Ballet Met, and many others. He has created choreography for such theaters as the Goodman, Manhattan Theater Club, South Coast Repertory, Actors Theater, Court Theater, Orion Shakespeare Festival, Washington Shakespeare Theater, and Portland Opera. Most recently, Randy's work can be seen in season 4 of Showtime's The Chi. For the past 28 years, he has been on the faculty of the Chicago Academy for the Arts, where he now serves as Dance Department Chair and received the 2019 Faculty Legacy Award. Randy has been choreographing the finale for Chicago's annual Dance for Life Gala since 1994 and has received the 2013 AIDS Foundation Chicago Civic Leadership Award for his work with Dance for Life. Hi, Randy Duncan.
Hi, Vicky Crane. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? I see you're in a studio.
I am wonderful. Yes. It's always great to be in the studio.
Yeah. So At the top, I mentioned that it was Friday the 13th. Ooh, scary. Do you have any superstitions?
Actually, I don't. When it comes, this is a good day, just like any other. So
I do.
So no, I'm good with that. You do?
I agree with you. But I used to have like dance superstitions, but I don't have any like about this day or anything. You know, silly little things.
I didn't even realize it was the 13th.
Yeah. I have to have a calendar out in front of my face all the time, or I won't know what day it is. So,
It's
right here.
Well, that's the way I am with regular days anyway. So, it's like, what day is this?
Exactly.
But the 13th didn't mean anything.
Yeah. So, we're going to jump right into how we met, because I think it's funny. And when I sent it to you, you were like, what? So, yeah. I know I met you when I was dancing with the Springfield Ballet Company down in Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, my God.
And you came in to teach for the summer workshops and set a piece for, I don't even know what show we were doing, but it was my first season with the company. And I was older. I was late to ballet. I was a jazz baby. And we auditioned, and I got in your piece, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people were mad about it. They were like, who's the new girl? And we want to be in his piece.
Yeah.
And it was a piece that you had choreographed for Joseph Holmes Dance Theater called Bitchin'.
Oh, my God. Really?
But we had to change the name because they wouldn't put bitch in the program.
So oh, my goodness.
We called it a little bit of sass. And
is that what you called it?
Yeah, and I was thrilled as a jazz baby to be put in that piece. So that's how I met you. You probably don't even remember that.
Oh, my God. That was so long ago.
It was like 1985.
Oh, wow. Joseph Holmes was still alive then.
Yeah.
He was there teaching, too. Yeah, and I remember coming there and working with the company there. I didn't remember that that was a piece. I did, like, because I came there again, and I did another piece there.
From Dreamgirls.
Father, Father, there's too many of you. That one there. There's a Marvin Gaye
song.
Yeah.
I was so jealous I didn't get in that one.
Yeah, that was fun. But yes, that was 100 years ago that I was there doing this, and I loved it. You know, I was in a different different town that was several miles away from Chicago. It was very interesting because here it is, our capital, and I didn't notice so many people in the streets, you know?
Yeah.
It was kind of ghost town-like, you know?
Yeah.
When I went there. And I believe, besides going there when I was in eighth grade, where, you know, everybody goes and visits the capital, that was the last time I was there, you know?
Yeah.
But it was lovely. I mean, the homes and things were actually beautiful, and of course the Capitol was. And then being able to work with the Springfield Ballet was also pretty wonderful.
Yeah, it was good for us too. Mm-hmm. And you were there in probably August, so legislature was not in session, and everybody was on vacation. So
exactly, they were
probably because, was a ghost town.
And actually, I stayed in one of the homes of one of the congressmen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Somebody on there knew somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from your board or whatever.
That board of directors was, banging back in the day.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
And I don't know if it was before then or after then. I think it was before. I saw Joseph Holmes Dance Theater perform at the Decatur Civic Center, because I'm from Decatur, Illinois.
Yeah.
And it's a teeny tiny little stage. And I was blown away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was part of the impetus of me, that and the Nutcracker, to go audition for the ballet company. But then when you came to the ballet company, like, I have to be in Chicago, between seeing you guys in Decatur, and I saw Hubbard Street in Springfield, and like Giordano was all over everywhere, and I was just like, oh, I have to go to Chicago, like, this is where I need to be. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. I'm certainly happy that we inspired you in such a way that you just had to move here to Chicago. So
it took me a while, but I got here.
Coming from a small town, because were you born in Springfield?
I was born in Decatur.
Oh, in Decatur.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So then I went to Springfield to join the ballet company junior in high school or something crazy late like that, because I was all jazz and tap. Then I saw the Nutcracker live, and I was like, oh, that looks like fun.
There's
and then
something
that
else.
Took over my life for the next 30 years. You know how it goes.
Right. Of course. Of course I do.
Well, most of your bio is about your choreography career and teaching and everything. Can you go back to young Randy and tell us the story of how and when you started dancing?
Oh my goodness. Well, I got a story for you. Yeah. Well, believe it or not, you have to believe it because I'm saying this, you know, it's just absolutely true. I grew up watching Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, Shirley Temple, Lilius Yoga and You on Channel 11, WTTW, back in the day, Mbozo Circus.
Oh my God, I love that show.
Yes.
On WGN.
Yes. So Mbozo Circus is the reason why I'm a dancer, actually. And that is because they would have guests come on every day. You didn't know whether it was going to be acrobatics or whether it was going to be, musical thing that was going on or what. But a lot of times they would have acrobatics on the show. And I was so enthralled with watching acrobats. that I would try the things that they were doing. For instance, getting on a chair, bending backwards, and trying to pick up a glass of water and come back up with it. Yeah, so I was trying to be a contortionist in such a way. So that was giving me my flexibility as far as my back was concerned. But also the acrobatic tricks like walkovers and handsprings and backflips and splits and so forth. I learned how to do the splits from watching Lilia's Yoga and You, because I would stretch every day with her on WTTW. So watching it, I wasn't in right. the studio with her. but that's how I learned how to split. And then I would watch Cheerleaders. Yeah, that was always something so entertaining for me to watch them do their thing, and they would split, and I wanted to split, so I stretched every day with the Lilias and finally got the splits. But also, again, watching Bozo Circus and trying those tricks, they would do them, and then I would go outside and do it in the grass in a park somewhere, because where I lived, you know, wasn't too much grass in the backyard of these buildings. So sometimes we do it on concrete. But anyway, I learned how to do these things from watching Bozo Circus. Then comes along West Side Story.
That's my favorite.
Yes. It was my first time seeing a bunch of guys in regular clothes dancing and doing things that I had no idea was there. And so I immediately just fell in love. I always sang because I grew up in church and I was a singer and a vocalist and all. But the dancing part, you know, I didn't know of any dance studios from the hood, you know. So there was this audition a year after I'd seen West Side Story. There was an audition for an all-city high school production of it at the Civic Opera House. And what that meant was that all the high schools in Chicago, they were, if you were interested in auditioning, whether you were a musician to play in the orchestra, or you were a dancer, or you were an actor, or you were a set designer, or whatever, you could come and audition for the show, as long as you were in high school. Well, I was only in eighth grade when this came out, and this is the first time they were going to do this. So I called down and I asked if I could audition anyway. I was only in eighth grade. And they said yes. So I went. And there's like 1,000 people there auditioning. And we're sitting in the auditorium of Jones Commercial High School back in the day, downtown. And I noticed on that poster that they had sent out that they needed acrobats, they needed musicians, they da 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 da. And so I, when my group came up, because they like auditioned us 10 at a time, come up there, learn the choreography, which I'd never done before. This is my first time now, yeah, being on a stage to dance and follow somebody else doing choreography, learn it and remember it. It was my first time doing this, so like 10 of us went up there. Okay, we did it. Okay, that group sat down. And I didn't feel that I had done as well as I would like. So my little eighth grade self raised my hand amongst all the 1,000 of people that were there, about 1,000 of them. I raised my hand and I said, I thought you were looking for acrobats. And they said, can you do any? And this is from the stage. They're hollering to me. Can you? And I looked around at all the people that were sitting in the audience. And I said, well, yeah. They said, well, come on up. Come on up and show us. Oh, my God.
By yourself?
By myself. By myself. So I went on up there and did my Bozo Circus trained acrobatics. And next thing you know, I'm a shark.
Oh, my gosh.
So I made it. Yes, yes. And from that day forward, the choreographer said, would you like to come and study at the Sammy Dyer School of Theater for dance? And I said, sure. So this all would be after school and stuff. So that's what I did. And I started training there with ballet and contemporary and so forth. So that's how it started.
That's quite a story.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I have Bozo Circus to thank for it, honestly.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're still in eighth grade at this point, so I'm assuming you trained through high school. And then
I was in Carousel, and I was in Guys and Dolls, and, you know, every year they would have auditions for these things, and they definitely remembered me. Yeah. So,
the musical theater route.
Yes, it was in musical theater, and it was wonderful. I was Ambrose Kemper in Hello, Dolly, and so that was fun. I got a line in West Side Story as well. It was a small line, but it was a good line as one of the sharks.
Do you remember what it was?
You came with your pants open. Yes.
I love it.
Yep.
So when All did you get years. Into more of concert dance and then kind of run us up to the Joseph Holmes years?
Well, you know, like I said, I was sitting at Sammy Dyer School of Theater, and so I got, you know, some ballet training from Geraldine Johnson there, and Shirley Hall Bass with the acrobatics. I really learned how to do them properly with that, and some jazz with Geraldine as well. And contemporary. So all of that started before I met Joseph Holmes. There was a drummer that Joseph used to accompany his classes sometime that I had met through someone else. And we were in the subway station, and he said, oh, you know, you might want to meet Joseph Holmes because he is the director of this company, and I'm sure that he'll like you, and blah, blah, blah. So I met Joseph Holmes, and Joseph asked me if I would like to come to a class that was well on the south side. Now, I lived on the west side at the time, so I'd have to take, like, a bus and
all
a train
buses.
And another bus. Yeah, so it took me like 2 hours to get there. But when I went in the first day and watched class, it was a Martha Graham class. And I was like, oh my God, that is absolutely gorgeous. And so Joseph asked me if I would like to join the class the next time. And I said, sure. So I had a lot to learn. And then next thing you know, he asked me if I wanted to be in the company. I was 15 years old.
What?
I think, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, sure. And at that time, Joseph was only touring locally. Our biggest tour, Vicki, was the Illinois tour, which included Decatur and so forth. So that was our biggest tour at the time. During the time that Joseph was alive, that was our biggest tour. We never went outside of Illinois until I took over the company. But that's how that started, and that's how I got involved with Joseph Holmes and started learning what, you know, a codified technique was in terms of modern dance, and also learning repertoire that was really quite exciting. So that's how it all started.
Literally learning on the job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you did that while going to school still?
I was still going to school because I was in high school.
Yeah.
Nobody in my high school knew that I danced. They only knew that I sang.
Okay.
Because that's what I would do at school. And I didn't want anybody to know that I danced at school. You know, I got picked on enough being the only male cheerleader there at Austin High School back in the day. It was like 5,000 students, you know. But they loved it. And all the football players, they wanted to learn how to do acrobatics. As I started teaching the cheerleaders how to flip and so forth, and to the point that they won an award by the end of my senior year. So trophies, you know, they get. But yeah. It was great during that time. And then I decided I wanted to go to a college for a second. So I went to Illinois State University under a vocal scholarship, believe it or not. And I ended up being in the dance studio again more often than I was in the music studio. They asked me to teach once I got down there. An audited class because they weren't teaching codified technique, they weren't teaching Graham or Horton or Cunningham or any of those things, yeah. And I knew them all. And I said, sure. Then that class started getting bigger and bigger. And I said, wow, if I'm going to continue to dance, I might as well go on back home and do it professionally. I can always come back to school, you know, if I wanted. So that's what I did. Yeah.
So I decided to leave. So this is a crazy coincidence, and I might cut this out because nobody cares about me. But I was a flipper and a cheerleader, and really? We won an award our senior year when I was on the squad. And then I went to ISU to dance.
Oh, my God.
I'm not even joking. Yeah.
My goodness. I did not know that.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
That's absolutely insane.
I don't sing as well as I dance, so I did not go to school for singing.
All right.
Oh, my God, yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's great to hear. That is really great to hear. Thanks for that.
Can you talk a little about working with Joseph, at the man? Like, what was that like? And then your transition into taking over the company after he passed.
Well, working with Joseph was quite intense. Joseph was a very funny man outside of the studio. I mean, he'd keep you laughing, rolling on the floor laugh outside of the studio. Inside the studio for rehearsal and class. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was very strict.
Yeah.
Very, very strict in what he was looking for and what he wanted. He was always gentle with me. Always. Always, always, and forever. He would scream and cuss and fuss at some of those other dancers to try to get what he wanted. But with me, never, ever, ever. And I was the youngest one in the group, of course, and, and maybe that had something to do with it. But I would learn everything, the boys' part as well as the girls' part. All the music, you know, I knew, even if it was the Rite of Spring, I'd listen to that music over and over and over and hear every single little beat that other people would not hear and be able to demonstrate the accents that were there and a complete understanding of what Joseph was doing. So it was really great and like I said, intense working with him, but so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, Joseph had left Chicago, of course, before he came back to assemble a company of his own. And he danced at the Ailey School and also at Arthur Mitchell School. So he got a lot of training from there. And Ailey even asked him if he wanted to start a second company there. So he started doing things with kids who were on scholarship right there in New York under Ailey's auspices. Yeah. So that was really cool. But then he told Ailey that he wanted to come back to Chicago to start his own company, which he did. And he really wanted it to look like an Ailey company. He wanted it diverse, the kind of movement and quality that was there at Joseph Holmes was very similar to that of Alvin Ailey. So it was wonderful, and he had a great relationship with Ailey. Every time they came into town, he would go and meet him, and they would talk and so forth. And I actually got to meet Ailey after Joseph's death as well. But even before Ailey died, I went there right after high school and studied there for the summer, absolutely free. Ailey said, send him out and he can do whatever classes he wants.
Nice.
And I took like 5 classes a day. I did. When I first went to New York, I thought to myself, this is it. And I was looking at the city, not the dance studios. But, oh my God, it was just so filthy. And I was like, everybody wants to come to this place. You go to Central Park, paper strewn everywhere, rats jumping in and out of the stream, boards on the bridge that were torn. You had to do a jeté to get to the other side. I mean, it was really, really awful. It looked nothing like it looks today, which is absolutely, wonderful and clean and so forth. But back in that day, and once I finished my classes, I went straight to where I was staying, which was with a friend there in Brooklyn. But other than that, wow. I said, I can't wait to get back home.
Get to my Chicago. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, but that was the way that it was, and I wanted to get a taste of New York, which I did, and then get back here and continue to dance with Joseph. And like I said, it was a wonderful experience. And seeing that he had taken a little piece of Graham, a little piece of Ailey, Arthur Mitchell, I mean, he had it all there somewhere.
Yeah.
And that was the joy in working with him.
Yeah. And then can you talk about taking over as director after he passed?
Oh, yeah. After Joseph died, he left a message that he wanted me to take over.
Okay.
So the board came to me and asked me if I would take the job. And I was already interim director when he was in the hospital. And I said sure, because I wanted the company to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So once I took over, that is when we started touring everywhere. Every state in the United States, and then some. We started going overseas. So, we went to Israel, we went to Paris, we went to London. We were just everywhere. And getting high praise from these various theaters and venues. So that was fun. But that was after I had taken over. And when I took over, Harriet Ross, who was the associate director with Joseph Holmes, then became my associate director. She was with us all the way. And we ended up making the company a little smaller than it was. We had 12 members in Joseph Holmes Chicago Dance Theater in the end. Whereas when Joseph was here, he had maybe about 15 or 16 folks in the company, and we had to trim it down a bit, particularly since we were going on salary. Before, it wasn't necessarily a salary. You'd get, a little money here and there depending on where you went. And you were moonlighting, because those folks that were in the company, there were nurses, there were teachers, just some of everything in there. Then they'd come, bankers. They would come into rehearsal at 6 o'clock in the evening and work until like 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was just a little boy, and my grandmother would always always be there waiting for me at the L station on Cicero and Lake, making sure that I got home safely, no matter what time it was. So that was a wonderful thing. And I just remember those times when she had to pick me up at like 2 o'clock in the morning from the L station. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But she wanted to make sure I was safe. So wonderful time. But yeah, I took over and we started touring. And also invited guests in to choreograph. Before, it was all Joseph Holmes' work. Mm-hmm. And then he asked me to do some work, and we did this huge Aretha suite together. So that was good. And I did a few other pieces while he was alive there with the company. And it got some great praise. And so I continued that as, you know, after his death and when I took over, but also invited some other choreographers to come in.
So
get some variety in there.
So that was when your interest in choreography kind of started, watching Joseph and working with him, and then was that something you always wanted to do? Because it seems like it's natural.
Actually, you know what, Vicki? It's natural. It is natural, and I did not know that until I started teaching, of course. And when I first started teaching, I would write notes down, everything down for my class, and I was teaching jazz. Then I found out that I didn't need the notes. I would go over, and what I would do was somewhat different than what I put on the notes, but it still worked. And it's just flowed. Things were just coming out like, you know, water out of a faucet. And people were really enjoying it, so it just felt so completely natural. There was nothing I had to work really hard for in terms of getting movement out.
The Furry Princess, a tale about a princess with a tail. This children's book follows Princess Sasha, a tiger about to receive her royal tiara as she makes new friends and finds self-confidence by learning ballet. Follow Sasha on her journey to become the Furry Princess. Available for purchase at thefurryprincess.com.
You mentioned Harriet Ross earlier. Mm-hmm. So can you talk, I mean, she's been part of your world for a long time. Can you kind of talk about
15.
Her as a mentor and a friend and a...
Yeah,
I mean,
and my
icon.
Manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Harriet Ross is originally from New York. And
if you hear her talk, you know.
Oh, yeah, right? Exactly. And Joseph was looking for someone who could come and help train the dancers that he had assembled in the beginning. And Harriet happened to be in town, and she was looking for someplace she could go that would accept her gifts. And so she came over to Joseph Holmes, and Joseph, I mean, he really worshiped the ground that Martha Graham walked on. She was his guru. So when Harriet came along, who is well-versed in Martha Graham technique, mm-hmm. studied under Graham and all the greats in the Graham Company, went to High School of Performing Arts there in New York, also the Juilliard, a wealth of knowledge. So she came in and she started whipping us into shape. when Joseph was here, I mean, many of the dancers, they didn't particularly care for that because, you know, they had the passion for dance and they just wanted to move and have fun. But she said, oh, yeah, you're going to have all of that, but you need a little bit more technique.
Yeah, that comes later. The fun comes later.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So she came in and literally whipped everybody into shape. She's one of the world's greatest dance coaches, I mean, ever. And she has known me since I'm 15, working at Joseph Holmes. And to this day, I mean, she is my mentor, she's my friend, she's my manager as well. When I left Joseph Holmes, she said, well, we'll manage you if you would like. And so she has. And so I for all the contracts that come from Yale Rep or South Coast Repertory Theater, all these big theaters, Goodman Theater, so forth, that I've worked with, Harriet has worked on those for me. And then, of course, the big dance companies as well, whether it's Joffrey or Giordano and so forth. She's been there working.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day, maybe 2000, 2001, I worked at Joffrey and Harriet was in the office. So that's when I met Harriet and learned of her most brilliance.
Oh, yeah, really. And everything.
Yeah.
You know, she and I, we talk every morning, every morning. The weekends are off unless we're going to a concert or something. But other than that, she checks in. She's been doing this for years, And we talk about everything, not just dance, but the whole political scene and all. It's amazing. It is amazing the kinds of conversations we have. Better and more conversations with Harriet than I even did with my own mom, who I loved very much. But Harriet was the one to talk, and my mom always said she appreciated Harriet being like my second mother. You know?
That's nice.
Yeah.
Can you think of one thing that you learned from Harriet or one piece of advice that she gave you that really sticks out?
Absolutely. The plié. A plié means so much more than some people realize. She taught me how to do a genuine, real plié. I was hearing some of the same things from other teachers. You know, put your knees back over your toes and all that and stuff. And I thought that's what I was doing.
Right.
Until Harriet got a hold of me and says, no, this is the way it is done. And from that moment on, revelation after revelation after revelation came. Everything would come from that plié. It is amazing. But that's the person that I will say the biggest and the wisest thing that she has ever said to me.
Nice.
Or done for me. Yeah.
So when did you decide to leave the company and venture out as a choreographer?
Well, the board of directors at Joseph Holmes were interested. This was during a stock market crash. And so people weren't opening their pockets as big as they were before. So I wanted the company to be increased, and they wanted it to decrease. We only had 12 folks.
Right.
You know, and eventually I wanted to get the company up to 18. And that was not going to happen. So I decided to step down. I didn't know what I was going to do, Vicki.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I have my equity card, so I could go on Broadway. I didn't know what else was going to happen. But as soon, I mean, it's like the very next day, people found out that I left Joseph Holmes. The doors started opening. University of Arizona called, Arizona State called, Barrett College called, and the Chicago Academy for the Arts called and wanted me to come and teach at these places to be on staff. And so at the time, I decided to take University of Arizona just because, you know, it's this big big college, and they had a wonderful dance program. They really, really needed a contemporary teacher, a modern teacher. And so they asked me if I would come out and do that. So I did, but I could not stand the weather.
I don't like hot either.
Oh, my God. It was so hard for me even to hold on to the steering wheel of the car that I had. I had a 66 Buick Special that I got out there because I already had a car here in Chicago, and I didn't want to drive that out. And I wanted something really cheap, under $1,000. So I was able to get this Buick Special out there that was as big as a boat. And it ran very well, except it was so hot. and that air conditioner was not working well. And you know, the steering wheel of the old cars like that, classic cars, they're hard plastic. Mm-hmm. It is not the plastic that you get in there right now, but it's that shiny. And I could not put my hands on it as I was driving. I said, oh, Lord, this is just too hot. And I got sick out there because I was not used to the hills and the moles and things that come from there. And there's no big body of water there. And the only thing, you know, they had a pool at every apartment complex that you go to. But that wasn't enough. I really needed to be by a sea, an ocean, or a lake, big lake. And I realized that my body was being depleted of that and started getting sick. And so I told them, look, I got to go back home.
Gotta go.
And they offered me such a great deal there. I mean, really wonderful. I could get anything I wanted, anything. It was called superstar status. So I did not need a doctorate or a master's or anything. It was just going out there to teach. And when I was teaching there, all of these people started coming, wanted to take the class, that had not done this before. So it was honestly like the Pied Piper, and the people would follow. That's what Harriet said, if you want Randy, you know he's the Pied Piper. People will start coming, I tell you. And they did, and that's not to have a big head about anything. It's just that I love teaching. I absolutely love teaching and coaching and so forth, and of course choreographing. But that's what happened right after I left Joseph Holmes. That happened, and then companies started asking me if I would come and choreograph for them, whether it was Giordano or the Joffrey, which the Joffrey I had like five pieces in when Arpino was here.
I actually wrote a review of one of your pieces when they toured to Springfield when I was in college.
Getting my English degree.
I'll just see if I can find it. I'll send it to you.
Oh, great. I hope it was good.
It was
a good review. But so that was all fun. I just loved it because then I, you know, had a chance to go around and do various things for companies that I'd never thought that I'd be doing anything for.
Yeah.
So it was quite wonderful. Mm-hmm.
That's nice. And you've been at the Chicago Academy for the Arts for 28 years?
Yes, ma'am.
What?
Can you believe that?
That's crazy
28
talk.
Years. It doesn't seem like that at all, but...
Because you love it.
But because I love it, and you watch these kids grow. You watch them go from very green to being able to go immediately into professional companies like New York City Ballet, like the Joffrey, like the Ailey Company, when they leave here.
Yeah.
Not they're going to college, and they go straight into those companies.
Yeah.
So I love seeing that.
Evan
and
Borsma,
on Broadway.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Evan Borsma is there right now.
Yep.
Michael Smith was there.
Right.
We had about five. That Randy Herrera was there.
Joanna.
David
Gomber.
Wozniak.
Yeah.
David Gomber. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
the old
a lot
school
of folks.
Joffreys, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully we'll have some more coming out of here soon as well. We've got some
nice,
really lovely dancers this year at the Academy.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, let's switch. We got to talk about Dance for Life because it's coming up. It's coming up on August 26th at Millennium Park. Mm-hmm. Free. Go see it. Fill that park up with as many people as we can get.
Yes.
And you have been doing, I think one year you did an opener. And last year you didn't do the finale, but other than that, you've done the finale every year since 1994.
Yes,
is that
with,
right?
with exception of one year that Harrison McEldowney did it because I was in Israel.
Okay.
So yeah, so that was the only other year. But everything, yes, I have.
Yes.
Created a finale for it. I think. The year before, because you know, last year we did it virtual,
right? And that was Hannah.
Yes, yes,
right.
And she did that, and I was in there for something else. But it has been wonderful from beginning to end. Every year that I work with these dancers, it's absolutely a joy to see the and witness, see and witness, same thing. The spirit that is in the room when they come after they have finished their own rehearsals at the various studios, and they come here, and there's this energy that, my God, you cannot believe, and it gives me such inspiration. It really does. I'm one of those choreographers who gives every step. You know, I'm not one of those who, okay, let's see what you can do here. All right, good, let's put that in. Let's see what you got. Curating is what I call it. Yeah. But I generally give every step. I mold the dance. It's like making something out of clay. You know, you mold while you're there. It's not something that I make up when I'm at home. I think about it, yes, but when I'm there, I can see the dancers. I know what they can do. And even things that I think they can do, we will try, because I saw it in a dream somewhere. But it really is molding while there. Watching those dancers and understanding what we're dancing about, and generally for Dance for Life. And these finales are choreographed as finales. It is not something that I want you to think so hard about, like, what was that? You know?
It's a celebration.
Exactly. It's a celebration, and I don't want you to dive too deep into stuff. I want to hit it and get going so that you are entertained as well. So that is the way that I think about these finales when I do them. If it was going to be a piece in the middle or the beginning, I might choose something else to go somewhere else with the story.
Right.
But for a finale, and to be using dancers from all the various companies, it needs to be something that you can make sure that the audience is having a good time while they're watching, or they're crying, or whatever. But it's
all
gonna
the above.
Yes. get emotional about it, and I have to do it so fast because we only have 10 days to put it together, and 3 hours each day to work on it. After they're exhausted from their other, but you would never know that.
Yeah.
You would never know it the way that they come.
But you know it the next day when they come into rehearsal and they're so sore from trying to learn your piece.
Oh, yeah. I have heard that.
Yeah, me too, all the time.
Yes, yeah, but every year they want to do it again.
I know.
They want to be in it.
Mm-hmm. So I've been going to Dance for Life every year since 1998 when I moved here. And it's my favorite night of the year, just because the show is so many different dance companies from Chicago all on the same stage at the same time, which you never see. So it's already that is the special of that night. And then everybody else that you've ever met or known or heard of in the dance community is in the audience. And then on top of all of that, then you bust out one of your finales that is just super high energy and so happy and so celebratory, and I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. What can you tell us about this year's finale?
Well, you're going to enjoy this year's, I believe, I hope. you know, with all of the marches and the protests and so forth, Black Lives Matter, equality to LGBTQ community, et cetera, with all of that going on this past year, I just had to do something about that with this. And my very dear friend and wonderfully talented composer, Ira Antelis, wrote the music for it. This one here has words, and he really wanted you to understand the words in the piece, because it's profound. So with that, we're going to actually have it written in the program so that you can see it, just in case you're missing something.
Oh, that's nice.
But it should be fun and insightful. That's the word. Yeah, insightful.
All right.
as you see this. But I love the music. I really do. It's very interesting because he put some very dramatic stuff in there, and then he went commercial on us a little bit, and then he comes back and pulls it in again, and it's really delightful. So I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm pretty sure I will.
Yeah.
and it's in a couple of weeks. So have you started rehearsing?
Oh, yeah. I'm done with the choreography.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm done.
You're just going to whip him into shape a la Harriet.
Yes. So next week, we meet again. We haven't been together for 2 weeks now. So next week on the 16th, we start again, cleaning things up, making sure everything is the way I want it to be. I've even gotten some, I've been thinking about one area that I want to put something in, so I'll do that when we meet on the 16th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Dance for Life started way back 92? When with my friend Todd Keach and Keith Elliott, and it was a response to the AIDS crisis.
Yes.
And fast forward to 2021, most of the dancers that are in your finale now, none of them were even alive then or lived through it. So, and I know DFL and Chicago Dancers United has evolved to, you know, taking care of dancers who have cancer or, you know, it's evolved so much, you know, from that. But since you've been with DFL for so long and it is the 30th anniversary, what does Dance for Life mean to you?
It means the same thing to me as it did back in that time. And that really is to help those in the dance community who can't really help themselves at the time that things are most needed. So that is really what it is. And that's the spirit behind Dance for Life, is that we do this, and all of us do this gratis, by the way. None of us get paid for any of this, including my composer and designer. Oh, and I forgot to mention, who is our costume designer? Richard Dayhoff. Richard Dayhoff. He's actually a fashion designer, and he did the first set of costumes for Dance for Life. The finale, when I first did it, he did it twice, the first year and the second year he did that. This year he asked me if he could participate in this way, and I said sure. I love it when people ask, and you know that this is their gift. It is not something that they're looking to get to reap money benefits from at all. This is what they want to do for the cause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's such a special night.
Yes.
Thank you for taking time to talk with me. I can't wait to see you at Dance for Life and give you a gigantic hug.
Oh, it's certainly my pleasure, and I do hope that you enjoy what we have brought together. I keep thinking about it, and you know, I have a rehearsal video of it, and I've never done this before, Vicki, but I keep watching it over and over again. I keep watching that, and it's you know, I'm loving it as I'm seeing it. I'm also seeing where I'm going to make some other choices, but yeah, I really like it.
That's good.
yeah, because I never know what's going to come out. It just comes. Stuff just comes, you know. I see things, and it's like, there it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like we said, it's just natural.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yes. I love you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
I love you, too. Thanks so much, Vicki, and I will see you at Dance for Life.
Thank you for listening to the Rogue Ballerina podcast. For more information on the guests and where you can subscribe and download the podcast, please visit rogueballerina.com, and you can follow me on social at rogueballerina. Until next time, I'll see you at the bar.